it'll be an interesting comparison. And I obviously am not going to teach a whole lot out of either book, but it is what we're talking about, and we're going over some high spots. But I want to read a couple of verses in Ephesians 1 and 2, or 2 and 3 rather, before we start. In Ephesians chapter 2, notice in verse 19, Paul says to these Ephesians, people like you and me, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Now, to be built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets in no way means that this book of Ephesians was found in prophecy. It means that the same foundation that the apostles and prophets all stood upon, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, is how we are built. We become built on that basis. Now look over in chapter 3. He says of the mysteries, and we'll get back to this after a while, but of the mysteries that he's had revealed unto him, notice in the end of verse 3 there is a parenthesis. He says, "As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Now again, the holy apostles and prophets would be people like Paul, Silas, Timothy, so on and so forth, as well as the 12 who were made privy to what Paul knew by Paul himself. Now, having said all of that, I want to make a comparison, if you will, between the book let me get my slide presentation going here. You can't do anything without your slide presentation being correct, can you? Daniel and Ephesians. Now, Daniel describes Israel in captivity and the promise of deliverance. Ephesians describes the deliverance of Gentiles and being held captive in Christ. And so there are comparisons and there are contrasts between these two books that we should know and understand. And I realize that I'm not going to do either one of them a great deal of service in 35 minutes here, but nevertheless, there's some things that are worthy of looking. I went back in and redid my slide because when I pulled it up first, it wasn't on the screen properly, and so now it's a little bit discombobulated, so just put up with me a little bit if you can. This is an attempt to look at some comparisons between Daniel and Ephesians. Daniel is Israel in captivity, as the other slide said, and Ephesians is the church which is his body. It is either the filling up of prophecy or it is the filling up of time. Let me say that again. Daniel is the filling up of prophecy and how it's going to be filled up. And Ephesians is the filling up of time and how you and I are going to fill it up. Now, if you will turn, since we're here, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and read with me from verse 10. He says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In those five verses you have a picture of what's going on in the book of Ephesians. The reason for Paul to write the book of Ephesians, as he said it, where he said it, to whom he said it, is because he now has the privilege in the Bible here, as you go from left to right in your Bible, from Romans across. It's the first privilege he has to lay out for people like us, people who were never associated with Israel, to show us how we fill up the time. The timeline of the Bible, without us, has a gap. With us, it's full. There times is the terminology used, one way that term is used to describe it. Now that, again, that being the case, This is set in sharp contrast to the book of Daniel. Again, that in the dispensation of the fullness describes our salvation. We hear the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. That is, we hear that Christ died for us, was buried for us, was raised from the dead for us, will justify us if we believe in him. And it shows us that by doing that, it seals us. The Holy Spirit seals us, which means we can't lose our salvation because the seal is placed upon us. And that means that when we're saved, we fill up the time. There's no time left on the timeline. When the body of Christ is fulfilled, it will be filled full. And when it is, there isn't any other time left. Therefore, we have to get out of the way, because there's prophecy yet to be fulfilled. And the prophecy must be fulfilled. In order for the prophecy to be fulfilled, we have to get out of the way. I misspelled prophecy. Look at that. I've never done that before in my entire life. Notice, if there's a filling up of the time and yet prophecy's not fulfilled, then something has to happen so that the prophecy can be fulfilled. And boom, we're out of here. Away we go. Turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9. Daniel's after Ezekiel. If you haven't never been there, you are in for a great, great trip in the book of Daniel. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. Daniel 9. Now, suffice to say that the angel Gabriel is talking to Daniel here, and he's telling Daniel how the Lord is going to fulfill the time frame to get Israel's prophecy fulfilled, and at the same time, manage the way the Lord is dealing with the nation of Israel. Notice in verse 24, the angel says, and Daniel writes, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Well, all of those things are to occur in order for time concerning Israel to come to an end. The truth of the matter is that as he unfolds the time frame in verse 25 and 26 and in 27, he shows the 7-year tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, the 70 weeks, 69 of which have passed. Look in verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, which means 49 years, and that's the 49 years that it took them to fight to complete to finish the temple that they rebuilt when both Ezra and Nehemiah went back down into Jerusalem. And then it says, and 62 weeks, which is the remainder of the time until Jesus Christ goes into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass. And it says, the street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous time, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. At the end of the 62 weeks, after the first 7 weeks, which makes 69 weeks, 483 years from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem, Jesus Christ, in his 33rd year, riding on the foal of the colt, the foal of an ass, into Jerusalem, is pronounced as Hosanna to the people, Messiah the Prince. And then 4 days later, commandment Passover lamb, 4 days later, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Now, that leaves the 1 week, verse 26 again. 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come. Please notice the prince there is a little p. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, the people who destroyed the city and the sanctuary were the Roman people in AD 67 through 70, basically AD 70 before it was destroyed. Well, the people of the prince then, Abel, the Antichrist, the prince that shall come, the one who thinks he's a king. Jesus called him the prince of this world. Paul calls him the God, the prince of the power of the air and the God of this world. But nevertheless, it says The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. The flood indication there has to do with an army that just overruns it. You can read all about them, by the way, in Joel chapter 2 and in the book of Revelation, verse 27. And he, the prince that shall come, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week, 7 years. Now, what I want you to see in this is not so much understanding all of this prophecy, because it'd take a whole lot more time than what I'm doing, but what I want you to see in it is that in the book of Ephesians, we who are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ are going to fill up the time. Here, though, Daniel is talking about this enormous amount of prophecy yet to be fulfilled in a short span of 7 years. A lot of the book of Daniel deals with the 7 years. A lot of the book of Daniel deals with all of the people who came against Israel as a nation from Egypt on forward. But a lot of this, especially this 70th week, the confirming of the covenant with many for 1 week is the 70th week, and that's all yet still in the future and is spoken of like that in the book of Daniel. Now, hold on to Daniel, flip back over to Ephesians. Go back. In Ephesians 3, let's just read from verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, remembering now Ephesians 1, verse 10 through 14. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me, to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now in prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, in those 9 verses, you have the reason for the book of Ephesians to be written, the reason for the book of Ephesians to show how time is filled up, the reason for the book of Ephesians to be pointed out here, that it is not in conclusion of prophecy. It is not the filling up of prophecy. Now, look back, if you will, in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9, verse 1. And we're not going to read all 23 verses. But I want you to see something. Now in Ephesians 3, hello Terry and hello Paul, glad you're here. In Ephesians 3, if you'll recall, we just read that he was disclosing the fact that he was writing something that had been a mystery. And in verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, he told us what that mystery was. Yes, he did. Go back and reread it. Now notice, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, in the first year of Darius the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Did you notice that what Daniel saw was that Jeremiah had earlier prophesied? When you read Ephesians 3, verse 1 to 9, it was mysteries. It's Jeremiah's prophecy. And he prays, Daniel prays here, and he says, I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. It is a marvelous prayer. I would love to take the time to read, time to do so. So we're going to go past the prayer and find out what happened at the end of the prayer. Now notice verse 20. It's one of my 5 favorite prayers in the Bible, is that one. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, you want a formula for praying? That would be a good one. Leave out the Israel part and put in the body of Christ part, and you got a great formula for praying. Before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Verse 21, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. And he begins the understanding of the prophecy. Now think of that in contrast to Paul in Ephesians 3. When we read in Ephesians 1 verse 12, 13, and 14, when Paul told us what the process was for us to get saved, he said nothing about a promise or prophecy. When he gets to Ephesians 3, he tells us that the promises of God are ours, but they are ours by the gospel. We don't get the promise of God because Daniel prophesied that it was coming. We don't get the promises of God because we fit into the mold of those whom the Lord would bless under the Old Testament and the law of Moses. We don't get the promises of God by those means. We get the promises of God by the gospel. Simply, by the gospel. Now, if that's too simple for you, then you're going to have to take that up with the Lord. I didn't write that. That's what he did. Ephesians 3, verse 6. So, the point is, let the Bible say what it says. Don't try to put yourself somewhere where you are not. And in the end, the Lord will show you how you can be blessed by all that he says and does, including Daniel. It's a great to see all of these things. Now notice, go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. And we're going to make a short comparison of a long past. But I want you to notice something here about the church, the body of Christ. I know it's great to learn and know about the time of Daniel, and I agree with you about that. But you must understand something. You're not like the ones in Daniel. You're not like the ones in Isaiah and Jeremiah, where Daniel received most of his instruction. And you're not like the ones in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You are, however, like the ones here in Ephesians chapter 2. We'll start, I've got verse 11 there, but I feel like I must start in verse 4. So when I go to Ephesians 2, I always feel like I have to start in verse 4 and 4 unto us. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now before going any further, verse 10, we are his workmanship. Therefore, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, I think it is, and a couple of other verses, as in Ephesians 4, if we do anything of a great nature for Christ's own sake, it is because he's doing that work in us. It is God which worketh in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. But in verse 10, we are his workmanship in the sense that he brought us into being, as it were, by inventing the time frame in which we live. Because it was held in secret, a mystery. And so it was inserted into God's time frame, God's timeline. If you look at the first part of the book of Acts, and you look at the last 9 books in the Bible, and you scoot it all together like that, you wouldn't have anything missing. Israel would come to fruition, the kingdom would be established upon the earth, voila. But here we are, sitting here like a gap in God's time frame. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That is a magnificent verse for understanding how God placed the dispensation of the grace of God in the midst of what was already prophesied. He took those who were strangers from the covenants of promise, those who were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and gave them a gospel. And lo and behold, it followed all the way down to and included me. And you, if you're saved. Could be you, if you'd get saved. That's who this is. This is what this is about here. Look at verse 13. Though there we were as aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, though that was our position, notice verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he's our peace, who've made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now that is our position, and it came about because Paul preached the gospel of Christ as the power of God unto salvation. Paul preached the gospel of Christ as he had preached it for 20 years before he got around to people like you and me, but it's the same gospel. Only in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, it's referred to as the gospel of the grace of God. And it came all the way to South Texas, and perhaps even to Castle Rock, Colorado, and perhaps even to Mobile, Alabama, and perhaps even to Fort Worth, Arlington. Who knows how far it will reach? The time frame just keeps stretching on. We're in 2010. We're just 23 years or thereabouts. Oklahoma, yes, 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 Oklahoma, of course. Of course, we won't forget the Okies. We're just 23 years away from the 2000th anniversary of our Savior dying on the cross for our sins. Isn't that wild? And Molly, even in California, the Lord will save those who believe the gospel. Go back to Daniel now and look in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel 10. I love the song that says, "How marvelous, how wonderful is my song, and my song shall ever be of my Savior's love for me. Gave his life for me, and then gave me 2,000 years to get here." I like that. I'm moved by that. I want to shout that from the tops of the houses. In Ephesians 2, what we read, no one there was to expect that this great news was coming their way. But I want you to see here in sort of a contrast how the Lord was handling in Daniel, how the Lord was handling getting his will done and for the purpose with which he did it. Daniel chapter 9. Now we read in Daniel 9 verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and we can know by the things that have unfolded since then, that only 69 of those weeks are taken up. Only 69. If you compare the things in Daniel, Matthew, 2 Thessalonians, and Revelation, of the things that are supposed to happen, and then of course you add in Joel, and Amos, and Zechariah, if you add in all those things, and Malachi, that are going to yet happen, that have not yet occurred, these 7 years, has not taken place. The last 7 years. But now notice, in Daniel chapter 10, there are some things here that tell us how the Lord is doing this with Israel. How did the Lord keep the world from stopping this from occurring for Israel's sake? You see, some people say, well, the world's just, you know, devil's got it in his control and it's going downhill fast. And well, it's been going downhill for about 6,000 years if you pay close attention, but nevertheless, there's something you need to understand. If the Lord said a thing, he's going to do it. It shall surely come to pass. Both the false prophet Balaam correctly prophesied that that was the case, and Isaiah wrote it down in Isaiah 14. And that being the case, these things that are described in Daniel about the end of it all, you don't have to wonder if it's going to happen. Besides, the last nine books of your Bible tells you how it's going to happen in a pre-written history form. It's like concluded. One thing that hasn't happened, it hasn't happened that Satan has been turned loose with an army that the Lord ordained, nor has it been the days gone past that the 7 years be filled up. Look in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. And again, it is Gabriel speaking with Daniel. In fact, most of the last part of chapter 9, 10, 11, and the first part of chapter 12 is all Gabriel speaking. It's marvelous. Then said he unto me, verse 12, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. The Lord heard Daniel pray and sent Gabriel. Earlier we read that he was a greatly beloved man. And the reason wasn't because Daniel always did the will of God. You know, if I'm sure Daniel had sins in his life since he wasn't innocent in the sense of coming from Adam's seed. But you won't find his sin showing up in this Bible except for his own admission. Notice, he said, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. So how did the Lord get Gabriel down here to tell Daniel all this prophecy? He didn't send the Holy Spirit. He sent Gabriel, who was aided in battle by Michael. Michael the archangel, Michael the prince, it's called him here. And it says in verse 20, then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. You might take note here that when Gabriel spoke of going to fight the prince of Persia, it was the same one that he fought to get down here, and it took him 3 weeks, 21 days with Michael's help. Now he says he's going to go back and fight him again. And when he said that, he said he was also going to fight with the prince of Grecia, and there wasn't any Grecia. Wow. You've got prophecy of Greece coming into being right here. Then he says, but verse 21, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Well, then I know that Michael had a special application to the people of Israel. Michael was the prince of Israel. Your prince. Michael, your prince. And notice, if you will, back at in chapter 10, it just says Michael, one of the chief princes, I'm sorry, in verse 13. But it's in verse 21, it says, Michael, your prince. Now we'll look in Daniel chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And he begins to describe the last troublesome time for Israel. He begins to describe how the 7 years is going to come to an end. In the meantime, Daniel was told, verse 5, I think I'm right there. No, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Do you realize that ever since Daniel finished writing down the words of this prophecy, mankind has been trying to figure out what it means? instead of just believing what it means as it says it, where it says it, mankind wants to try to interpret it. I found out something many, many years ago through the help of Brother E.C. Moore and my trying to argue with him. Don't argue with the Scripture. Don't interpret the Scripture. Just believe it says it. It doesn't matter if you don't believe it. I mean, if you don't understand it, it matters whether or not you believe it. And if you will, even though you might not understand it, if you will believe it, the Lord will give you great understanding in the time and at the time that you need it. Now, I want you to notice, we went to, in Daniel 10, verse 12, 13, 14, 15, along in there, we found out about this guy Michael. In verse 21, we found out that he was the prince of the people of Israel. And in chapter 12, verse 1, we find it reiterated again that Michael is the one who stands up for them, and Michael, the great prince, who standeth for the children of thy people. Daniel's people was Israel. And it's all about what Michael can do for them. But when you come over to the church, the body of Christ, in Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 18, as in Ephesians 1, verse 10 through 14, what you see there is the Holy Spirit. It is by the Spirit that you're accounted available. You're placed into the Word of God and into the body of Christ by the Spirit. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your teacher, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 16. You have all the mind of Christ, but not unless the Holy Spirit helps you to unfold it and to see it as it says it, where it says it, to whom it says it, and to make your comparisons and to help you to rightly divide the Word of truth. If you study to show yourself approved and you fail to rightly divide, as you study, you will not be a workman doing good work. You need the rightly dividing key, and the Holy Spirit will teach you those keys. He will guide you into all truth. I appreciate you being here tonight. Hope it's been helpful.